Jonathan Cahn with us with his latest book, The Harbinger 2. We will take your phone calls and your questions with him when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie back with you along with Jonathan Cahn. His book is called The Harbinger 2. His website, theharbingerreturns.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Jonathan, towards the end of the book, and I don't want to give away everything in the book, obviously, but you talk about a secret event. What was that all about?
Yeah, well, this is something that happened. This is before, like, everything began, and before, long before I would ever think about writing a book. And it was 2 years before 9/11, and I was led to go to the Statue of Liberty for a gathering, and there were of believers who were there who had come from across the country because they knew that an attack was coming on the land, and they knew it was coming to New York City.
And this was 2 years before it happened.
We're at the gate, and there's a lot in the Harbinger 2 about the significance of the gate. That's the gate of America. You know, of course, it's Statue of Liberty. And, you know, we're there, and I sound the shofar. You know, we talked about the watchman, you know, and, you know, sounding the alarm. And I sound the shofar, and I sound it towards they take a picture. And the picture comes out. It's an image of I am literally the shofar touching the North Tower of the World Trade Center, exactly where the attack is going to begin. And then, you know, there's a thing in the Bible about prophetic images before they happen. And so it's like a foreshadow. Then I'm lifting up my arms. Somebody films it. And we literally see a plane doing the exact – it's a foreshadow of exactly what's going to happen on 9/11. It's coming down, swooping towards the tower. It's on film. Actually, it's the only time we put an image in a book in the Harbinger 2. That at the very end, we put one of those images in there. But the thing is, the date that we all this stuff happened, that was like a prophetic day, the date was September 11th, 2 years before.
Strange.
Exactly.
That is weird.
You know, and it was also a Hebrew holiday, which is the Feast of Trumpets, which is the warning. The Feast of Trumpets is the warning of something that is yet to come. And I believe it was 9/11. And the ultimate thing is that 9/11 itself was a warning, a trumpet call of what is yet to come if we don't turn back.
Could these terrorists or people behind 9/11 have taken these episodes from the Bible and what have you and got these dates that way?
I don't believe that, George, because first of all, I mean, if anything, they're reading the Quran. But the thing is that they're not trying to fulfill the Bible. But also, when you look in the ancient, you know, when this happened in ancient times, when the Romans came to, you know, destroy Israel, they ended up destroying it on the 9th of Av, the exact same day that the Babylonians had destroyed it years before. You know, so the terrorists didn't know. And an example of this is that even the date, you know, one of the mysteries of judgment at the beginning is that everything returns to the foundation, and God, and the judgment strikes the powers of the land. Well, one of the powers was, of course, the Pentagon. Well, the Pentagon began in 1941, the year that America was its rise to superpower, you know, military superpower began. Well, when did it begin exactly? Well, they started the building of the Pentagon on 9/11, September 11th. So everything comes back.
You're starting to freak me out, Jonathan.
Oh yeah, and I'm the first to get freaked out, so George. And the thing is, so that's why 9/11. The terrorists had no idea. I'll throw this in. I'm just going to throw this in here. What's the other power of America? The other power is its economic power, the rise. Well, what the focus of that is New York. So of course it went to New York. But when did New York begin? When did that all begin? On 9/11, September 11th was the date that New York, Henry Hudson, discovered New York. Everything goes back to the beginning, and that this is a biblical mystery that terrorists had no idea. And the warning is, this is a shadow. The warning is, if we don't turn back, all our blessings come from God. If we don't turn back, our economic power is going to crumble, and our military power will crumble as well. It was all there. That's the mystery behind 9/11, and I never even put it in the Harbinger. It was all there.
Time for phone calls. Let's take a few, and then we'll talk more about the Harbinger. Sean in Santa Barbara, California, to get us started. Hey, Sean, go ahead, sir.
Hey, George, it's Parkinson's, Sean. I'm doing fine, so I got a
good
question
for you.
For your guest. I was an old man about 40 years ago. He had a ministry. Now, you got these kind of like phony balonies, but this guy did his research like this man, and he was saying things that are this gentleman's talking about then. Because why would I remember like 40 years ago? And he said something in Israel about a place called Petra. And he was saying, this man is saying, your gentleman is saying, well, this might happen. No, he said it will happen. And everything 40 years ago this guy said is happening. And he said, the churches are over. Everything is over. The second coming, that is it. It is gone, folks. You know, get on your knees.
Is that guy still around with us?
Huh?
Is he still alive? Or not?
I doubt it. He was old then. But he was so sincere. He was not like a phony baloney. I mean, he was like you. He really did his research, and he said Petra. He goes, go to Petra. He goes, go to Israel, like this gentleman said. He goes, you'll be okay there, but nowhere else. He says, you will die.
What do you think of all that, John?
Well, it says, there's a scripture that says God reveals before he acts, before calamity comes, before he does these things, he reveals it to his people. So there is that. Now, there are a lot of people who say stuff and it has nothing to do with anything, but then there's the real thing, you know, and these things, and it's often the people who do it are going to be humble, and they're not like, you know, and when when we were at the Statue of Liberty, we didn't know, but it was all there. It was all there. So God does do that.
Yeah, absolutely. How does Abraham Lincoln fit into this mystery?
Well, there's a scripture that is really part of the answer part. You know, the Harbinger, too, you know, is all that ends up with hope. But one of the things is, how do we turn around, or what can we do? And one of the key scripture is 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's very famous among believers. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their evil ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, I'll heal their land. Well, I've literally seen that scripture change history. And the thing is that, but one of the times, I didn't see it, but one of those was, you know, Lincoln, when it looked like America was going to be torn apart, the worst year of the Civil War, 1863, looks like it was going to be over for the North, he issued a call for the America to come back to God, to return, and to humble itself, to pray, and he put the date down and all these things, and they did it. And when I looked at this, you know, the turning point of the war came right after that, but it wasn't just that. The turning point of the war actually began the day after that Lincoln's prayer call was heeded. I mean, that's the first victory that Grant had to take Vicksburg, which was the turning point. Actually, that was also the day that determined Gettysburg. All this. So I believe we're at an even more critical part. I actually saw this 40 years. You talk about 40 years ago. 40 years ago, when it looked like, you know, with Carter and everything was collapsing and the hostages and it was a disaster. Well, the believers got together on the National Mall, and a day of prayer and repentance was 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I literally saw the history of America change. Reagan was swept in. A million things happened. But the thing about that, I believe right now, and I'm calling for something called the return, which is to gather in Washington on September 26th. And this is just you can do it in your home. It doesn't matter. But a day of prayer and repentance for the future of America. And it's going to be so focused on the National Mall. But according to that, that's that scripture that says, if my people, if you look carefully, the verse before says, if I send a plague on the land, then it says, if you come to me, then it might be. And it also says, if I send locusts, well, you know what? 2020 is the greatest plague of locusts in generations. Everything it says points to this year. So there's also hope, and that's it. Changed America once, it can happen. Now, I'm not saying it's going to, but we have to do what he says.
Jonathan Kahn with us. Let's go to the phones. Joe in Long Island, New York, east of the Rockies. Joseph,
yeah,
go ahead.
Hi, Jonathan. I just want to talk about the Bible.
Hey.
If you look at Genesis, you had the Tower of Babel. You had five cities were destroyed by two angels, and Sodom and Gomorrah and three others. Now, those same angels destroyed those five cities and helped four people to get out of there, three of whom made it. Lot's wife did not make it. Then you fast forward to the book of Revelation, chapter 18. It speaks of a Babylon, which was like the center of the world, but it spread its evil practices all over the world, and its iniquities reached heaven. And it said, strong is the God who will judge you. And also an angel took, in chapter 18 of Revelation, took a giant stone and threw it into the sea. And he said, this is how I will throw down Babylon. So that's another example of an angel you would think would be only there to help you, but they're not always just there to help you. Even if you look at A Wonderful Life, Clarence kind of zapped the friends that were chasing George you know, into that house. So they have a dual role, I think, angels.
Well, yeah, angels are also messengers of judgment as well as help. Absolutely, and it's interesting. You mentioned, you know, Babylon and, you know, Tower of Babylon. I didn't mention this, but this is after I wrote the first book. There actually was a word hidden in Ground Zero, and it was a scripture. It was a page of a Bible that, you know, it just survived. It was miraculous. It survived everything. And a photographer is walking in the ruins of Ground Zero later on, and he sees it, takes a picture. They kind of whisk him out because it was dangerous. Later on, he looks at his camera, and he breaks down and weeps. What was the word? The word was from the Tower of Babel, "Come, let us build for ourselves a tower." This was in the ruins of the tower that America built, and the place where they would build the new tower. And the thing is that not only that, but when I mentioned, you know, Isaiah 9:10 and the harbinger scripture, you know, the bricks have fallen, the ancient translation of that by the rabbis in ancient times, they actually said they matched it up with the Tower of Babel. They said the bricks have fallen, come let us build a tower. Well, we built a tower. So that word was there, but it's saying that the nation is taking the spirit of Babel, which is of defiance of God. So that kind of go in the end times, you know, you hear about Babylon, but that was all there in the ruins of 9/11.
In spite of the bumpy time ahead, Jonathan, is there hope?
Yeah, there is hope. You know, there is hope, but you know, and you've heard me say this before, but the hope is in God. You know, when I, with the Harbinger, the first one, I'm calling for that at the beginning, and I say the only way, or at the end, the only way is to return. Well, there's always hope as long as there's God, but if America continues on its course, you know, of defying God and just, I mean, warring against his ways, I mean, worse and worse, then there won't be hope for America if we don't turn back. But within that, you know, people say, asked me, George, ever since the first book, they said, well, do you see calamity, you know, and judgment, or do you see revival? And I said, you know what? There can be both. There can be shaking and calamity, and yet in the midst of it, there can be revival. One of the things people think that the end times is just dark, but really the true picture is it's polarized. The dark gets darker, but the lights get brighter. So we could actually see both.
What is the ancient mystery behind some of these other things that are going on? Is there any devilish stuff involved here?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things in the Harbinger 2 is it actually talks about also like when certain things came to America. I mean, kind of evil things, and New York had a part in that. In their legend, in the building where they passed these votes, including abortion, including all these things, actually there's something called the demon. There's actually a wall of faces that are in the legislative building, and one of them they call the demon. So I do believe that's the case. And speaking of demonic, one of the signs of where we are in the end of a nation or the judgment coming on a nation is the appearance of images of the gods. You know, in ancient Israel, that's what happened. You know, they're worshiping other gods. The prophet Ezekiel is taken to the holy place, and he says, "I saw the image." You know, his image of the 12 stones. And then it says judgment was pronounced that was coming. Well, in America, there actually was an image that actually was erected in New York City. It was projected. It was an image of a foreign god, just like in the last days of Israel. It was projected on the Empire State Building, of all things. It had to be the largest foreign god ever on Earth. The head was like 300 feet alone, and it was the god Kali, which is the god of darkness. And you know, for many, darkness. So they're using light to put up darkness. And the thing is, George, on that very day, it was an ancient scripture appointed all throughout New York and the world. But in New York, they're opening up the scrolls. What was the ancient scripture? It's God saying the warning, do not make an image of the god or judgment will come. And the image of Kali is also the god of death and destruction.
Uh-huh.
Over New York City.
How ironic. Next up, we go to Brenda, Indiana. Hello, Brenda. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Hi, Rabbi. Hi. It's such an honor to be able to talk to you.
Oh, my honor.
I have a question about all of this being related to as in the days of Noah, also Matthew 24, the birth pangs, and what do you think about the peace treaty, the Abrahamic peace treaty being signed in Israel? I'll take my answer off the air. God bless you, Rabbi.
Thank you. Well, the days of Noah, you know, that it says, you know, Jesus said in the end it shall be as the days of Noah. You know, people going on thinking everything's going to be fine, and then suddenly judgment comes, and also that it's a time of immorality. Well, we're witnessing that. These are that, you know, and you know, we're witnessing as the day. I would also say not only days of Noah, the days of Sodom, as the other caller mentioned, but we're witnessing that where the culture is going progressively. Oh, not only away from. I would say away from was before, but now it's against. And so we're watching that. But what the Bible's saying is that then these things are going to come. These shakings are going to come, and it's going to affect all these blessings that you took for granted are going to be shaken. So yeah. So I believe that we are approaching those days. We are in a kind of a foreshadow of it right now. On top of that, you asked about the peace treaty. Well, I think it's quite amazing that there is anything with the Arab world. Not that the peace is going to last, but these things can allow
it's something,
for
right?
The building of the temple.
At least it's something, John.
Yeah. It definitely is something very big. And it can allow the fact that you have any nation recognizing Jerusalem, the fact that on the Temple Mount right now they're actually allowing Jewish prayer, that there's this opening. So I believe that could actually open it up for what the Bible says has to be. Jesus isn't coming until that temple is rebuilt. So that's all. So all these things just keep moving forward.
Let's go to Frank in Hollywood, Maryland. Hi, Frank. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Khan. Mr. Khan, I respect and admire you so much. The Jeremiah's prophecy, the pots on that island, that's too much for me.
Oh.
And the John Winthrop's prophecy, where he retired to, the island became the airport. That's just incomprehensible. My mind can't
absorb
deal
that.
With that. It's just George doesn't believe in coincidences.
Oh yeah.
But I want to ask you, where does President Trump fit in prophecy? He moved the embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv, but I don't understand the white supremacists who attacked Jewish synagogues and black churches. He never says a bad word about them. He'll badmouth anyone who disagrees with him, but yet he supports Israel, but yet he won't say a bad word about white supremacists. And I predicted you would be on this show 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
I knew you were in the pipeline, so I can't wait to get your book.
Oh, okay, well, thank you. You alluded to something called the Potter's Field, which I haven't shared yet, but that, yeah, that's in there. But, yeah, I'll mention what you mentioned about Trump. Listen, Trump is, we know he's a person. God uses imperfect people. And you know, if there are things, as we said at the beginning of the program, that, you know, we wish he wouldn't tweet. But
take
the thing is, he's also being used. Two of the things we spoke about, I spoke with George in recent years. One was in the paradigm, which is showing that the people of on the world stage, or actually the national stage, are following these ancient prototypes. Trump, for America, is following the prototype of Jehu. Jehu was somebody who was kind of wild. He couldn't predict them. He just did all these things. He was a fighter, but he wasn't polite. He wasn't diplomatic. But he was used to extend the window of time that ancient Israel had before judgment came. He kind of drove back a corrupt house, and he was in there. So this is part of what Trump is, right?
Hold on for a second, Jonathan. I'll let you finish up when we come back and take final phone calls with Jonathan Khan as we talk about the Harbinger 2. Next hour, the Book of the Magical Mythical Unicorn. We'll be talking with Alfonso Colasuondo, and we'll be talking about the unicorns and some other things, including Reiki, the healing method which is used. And so make sure you're part of that Coast to Coast program. And welcome back to Coast, Jonathan Khan with us, our final segment as we talk about the Harbinger 2. Jonathan, did you want to finish up about the good angels and bad angels and all those things?
Yeah, well, the last caller mentioned something that I wasn't going to mention, and there's so much from the book I can't, but this one, he said the potter's field, or the potter, Jeremiah. When Jeremiah, this is in that chapter called the plague, when Jeremiah gave these prophecies, he said it by the potter's field, and he says the potter's gate, he's holding the potter's jar, it's all about the potter. And he speaks about, he says that when the judgment comes for what has happened, there'll be so many people there'll be people who are dying, and you will not be able to accommodate them, to bury them. They will, and so the thing is that's what happened in New York in this plague, and this all, by the way, all happened in the 19th year, which for America is 2020, happened into New York, where they just could not accommodate it. So they put out those who were unclaimed bodies to a place, an island, and it was the place they buried them was called, of all places, was called Potter's Field, the same place.
That's right.
Where Jeremiah gave that prophecy of what could. So it's all linked together. And the other thing, a note, but again, that's just another thing. Another thing is that he mentioned about Trump. So you got Jehu, and you got this convergence that Jehu's the one holding back, open a window. Well, we're also talking about a window right now. We're coming to an election. So all these things are converging together. The other thing with Trump, I won't get into it now, but as to with Israel, for Israel, he's Osiris. And that's what happened. That's what I got into with the Oracle, but that's what happened when he gave that pronouncing that Cyrus did of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And the day that he did it, the Bible says that Cyrus did it after 70 years. If you take this 70-year countdown, I won't go through it, Trump did it not only at the end of a 70-year period, but on the exact Hebrew day. And I'm sure Trump was not reading Hebrew.
No. I know for a fact that one of his campaign donors kind of bent his arm to make that move.
Yeah,
and he did it.
It all comes with people not trying, knowing how this is all going to work out. It happens at the exact moment, exact time.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Walter in Pennsylvania. Hey, Walt, welcome back.
Hi, George, as usual. It's great to be on with you, George.
Thank you, sir.
George, with all due respect to Mr. Khan, I'm still an atheist, George. I was brought up as a Roman Catholic, but to me it's obvious that this Bible, as I've always said, it was written before science, before the advent of microscopes, telescopes, the ancients that wrote these books, whether you're talking about the Bible or any of the other holy texts, the Sumerians, they really couldn't extend their senses beyond their noses, so to speak, George. Now, I just like to, without getting into real deep philosophy, I just like to ask Mr. Khan, does he really think that the God of the Bible, Yahweh, Jehovah, could be so hypocritical as to say to man in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, but yet when you read the Bible, his solution to everything is mass murder, whether you're talking about Noah's flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, the classic Passover story, and even when the Israelites are sort of, you know, as the story goes, the septic tale goes that they're after the angel of death kills the firstborn of Egypt. Well, then the Pharaoh's heart is softened and he lets the people of Israel go in the classic Passover tale. But then he still decides when they come to the Red Sea, he still has to part the, you know, Moses parts the Red Sea, and the hordes of the Pharaoh still have to be killed, even though, you know, his heart was softened. And, George, even as this story goes, this epic tale of the Jewish people, when they come into the land of milk and honey, finally, then Yahweh Jehovah says to them, well, you see these, the native inhabitants, the Canaanites, and then Yahweh that tells the Jews, well, you can smite and enslave the Canaanites because I gave this land to you.
No, you're right. There's a very, very bizarre paradox here, Jonathan, of the biblical God who was pretty darn violent.
Okay, yeah, well, a few things. First of all, and I appreciate the question. You know, it sounds more that you're angry with, I mean, that you're upset with God than you're not believing him. But a few things. First of all, this is what is revealed in the Bible, that God has to judge evil. I mean, you know, just like we had to have caused destruction to end Hitler and end the evil. You can't just let that go. But the heart of that's his necessity. That's not the heart of God, because the Lord says, I have to take no pleasure in that. Just like what we're talking about right now, that my heart is that it says the Lord is willing that none should perish, not even one. So the requirement of good, actually righteousness, is that you have to ultimately judge evil. But the thing that shows you the heart of God is ultimately the manifestation of God is in Jesus, who loves so much that he actually takes the judgment upon himself. So that is the God we're dealing with. And I want to say also that, I was an atheist, like you, and I kind of put it down and all that. You know, it's just kind of God sometimes uses the least likely, But I said no way, and the same thing you said, okay, that's not science.
What made you a believer, John?
What was it?
What made you a believer?
Got hit by a locomotive train. Literally, I was hit by a train.
Were you really?
Yes, absolutely.
Were you in a car or walking? What?
What was it?
Were you in a car or walking?
Yeah,
what?
I was in a Ford Pinto, which used to blow up.
Oh, they had those gasoline tanks that would always go.
That's right. And the thing is that was the final thing. But the thing that took me from an atheist is I started looking at the Bible. I started seeing, or I read a book that started showing what was in the Bible, like everything that it said was coming true. For instance, the Jewish people are going to be scattered to the ends of the earth. At the end times, they're going to be gathered back to Israel. The world's going to be again. All those things that go against all odds. And that the very argument is for God, because the people who said those things were not scientists. How could they possibly know with all our science and all our technology? We cannot predict human events even 2 years ahead. They're talking about shepherds talking about things that are 2,500 years. So all the more that there is nothing else on earth that has ever done that. It's all happening. Whether that's what it is. And so yeah. So I'm from an atheist, former atheist, to an atheist. That's the point. That's the whole point. It's real.
Next up, let's go to Mike in Denver, Colorado. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Hey, George. Good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to thank you so much for doing the show on Labor Day. There's so many people not knowing what's going to come next, but the reason I think Coast to Coast is so popular is because it's truly about giving back to the audience, and being live on Labor Day is just another example of that.
Thank you.
Mr. Khan, congratulations on your new book.
Thank you.
A comment and a question. So obviously right now California has had record fires this year, over 2 million acres burnt, the latest being the Creek Fire burning over 50,000 acres. So what do you think it says about biblical prophecy with all these record kind of natural disasters happening in the world? Thank you.
Well, that's a great question. I think that, we're watching these shakings all over. The focus converging on America. But, I gave a little mention of that, for much of the world, you've got the greatest plague of locusts in generation. You have, it says in that scripture, if a plague, locusts, and then it says famine. You also have famine, around the world, and you have a mega drought, even in America, mega drought. And then you have all that happening with California. It's almost like it's so much we can't even absorb it. And the thing is that, for years there have been people warning. The Harbinger was one of them. But warning, listen, you got to come back because you can't keep doing what you're doing. And so we're watching all this converge, and it's happened again. I can tell you, I spoke to other people about this at the time, but that I was always looking at this year, the 20th, because it all points to this year. So we're watching shaking as we've never seen it. You can ignore it, but it's happening.
Wayne in Tacoma, Washington's now with us. Hey, Wayne, go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you very much, George,
sure,
for taking my call. Mr. Khan, wanting to find out about your opinion, what you think about the 7-year peace compact that President Trump's son-in-law, Kushner, is trying to conduct with Israel. Have you read it? What do you know about it? And also, I know you read the book, The Late Great Planet Earth.
Yes.
And Hal Lindsey, what do you think about him?
Yeah, well, I'll start with that one. Yeah, that was the book when I was an atheist, and I wasn't looking for it. I was the one who always argued against religion. I was known in high school, and it was that. And I'm about 13, 14 years old, and I picked up the book. I thought it was a UFO book because I was reading all about UFOs because they made it look like that. So I kind of got tricked, in a good way. So that's the book that spoke about all those things that happened, Israel coming back, and that's the key. That's the beginning of the end times as we know it. it. So yeah, so I think you know, it's a great thing. Of course, nobody knows all how it's going to all pan out, but it was a very great foundational book on biblical prophecy. It's all happening. As far as the 7-year, what he's referring to is the tribulation period, which is in Revelation. It's also in the book of Daniel, and it has to happen where a covenant will be made with Israel, but that deals with the Antichrist. It will be broken. I don't believe that what's happening now is that covenant, but you know, it's certainly peace treaties, and you could say it follows the form. So I don't believe we're in the tribulation period yet, but keep waiting.
Bouncing another few months, Jonathan?
Well, I can't set the date, but you know, even my wife asked me today, because saying that, you know, is this all like, you know, how are we with the end times? My children asked, well, this, what's happening now more than ever, the acceleration that we can all sense, the destabilization of the present world order is exactly what has to happen for the end time scenario to be unleashed.
Let's go to Craig in Hollywood, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Craig, go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing? It's been years since I talked to you.
Well, I'm glad you got through.
Yeah, hey, George, I was the one that almost died from MRSA going in my brain.
Yes, I remember that.
Yes.
You sound great.
You know what?
You're doing
okay.
11
years later, I'm still okay.
Good for you.
Thank you very much, Jonathan, for writing this book, because this type of stuff is near and dear to my heart. My mother put this in our head over 40 years ago. That this stuff was coming like a freight train, and we were standing in a tunnel. And what I need to know from you, at your point of view, is how do you square up the two bloodlines on the earth between Cain and Abel, and the Nephilim?
The two bloodlines, as per talking about now.
Yes, as right now.
Well, you know, I would say this. I mean, there's a lot of ideas and you know, theories about that. But there is ultimately a division between those who are, you know, following God and those who are not. I don't know that we can trace it to a bloodline, but we all have a choice, you know. And there may be other, God knows all the bloodlines, including the 144,000. You know, all these things have to be kept track for prophecy to be fulfilled. So, you know, God knows that. But the ultimate thing is, we all, no matter what bloodline we're from, we have a choice to come to God or to turn away.
The Harbinger 2, the book is available right now. Just came out a few weeks ago. And when we read it, Jonathan, will we cringe and shake?
Well, I think, you know, the first person who read it, like from the publisher, she said at the end she was on her face, I mean, just weeping, but she knew for change in her life. So I think that it depends kind of where you are at, that if you are, you know, you're right with God, you don't have to, you can say, whoa, how, you know, this is not out of control. I mean, one of the things we're seeing is like, look, it's so precise that all these things are happening at the time they're supposed to happen, in the place. So all these things are showing that God is in control. At the same time, if you're not right with God, get right with God. Get born again. Come to the Lord. Because then there is something to fear if you're not ready. And I believe, you know, and the Harbinger 2 is also saying about getting ready, you know, getting prepared, because we need to stand, you know, and you want to be ready. You don't want to be caught on. I think it's scarier if you don't know what's coming.
Let's go to Canada in Ottawa. Adrian's with us, first-time caller. Hello there, neighbor. Go ahead.
How are you doing, gentlemen?
Great.
Good.
Thank you for taking my call this evening. I'll say, as a Canadian, I'm a little uncomfortable and kind of scared, as we feel like we're the, you know, the elephant in the bedroom. Like, you're the largest country in the world that could just walk over us when it comes to prophecies like that. And are we just a battlefield? Like, what happens to us as Canadians?
Where does Canada fit into this, Jonathan?
Interesting. I actually spoke in Canada. I was in Canada that the whole thing of the Oracle came to me, because that had to do with something with Canada. Canada is so close to America and it's so similar that I believe it will share in things. You know, the blessings of what happens here, but also the shaking. So I don't think you're worse off, but I do believe that Canada is linked. That what's happening here in America is going to affect what's happening in Canada.
Couldn't have better neighbors, though, I got to tell you.
Yep, I agree.
You ever have a house and you have a neighbor and you go, wah, wah.
Yes.
Canadians are good neighbors. We moved in well there.
Yes.
We've only got about a minute left, Jonathan. I want to wrap things up. How can people track you and give us some more info? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, to get the Harbinger 2, as you said, it's everywhere online. You can do it now or anywhere. Or in bookstores, it's there. But also, not just for you, but if there's people who need to get woken up or in your life, do it. It's Harbinger 2. To get in touch with the ministry, it's Hope of the World that'll lead. I'm here on the East Coast. If you guys are ever here, George, if you're ever here, please visit. It's Hope of the World, so we'll send you free gifts.
.org, right?
What was it?
.org.
Yeah, hope. Thank you. Hopeoftheworld.org, and you'll get free gifts immediately. Prophetic updates. Hopeoftheworld.org, and of course Facebook. I'm on there. So Jonathan on Facebook. If you want to have a part in the return, just go to thereturn.org. It's September 26th. That's thereturn.org. But I believe this is critical, in critical times.
Let's get you back to see how you predicted things sometime next year. Okay.
Okay. All right, thank you, George. It's always an honor, and you stay strong.
Absolutely. Jonathan Kahn, The Harbinger 2. And if some of the things that he writes about do indeed come true, oh, boy, we got a little tough going. But you know what? I still think we're going to pull through this mess, to be sure. Up next, some mythical creatures, so stand by for that.